PFT Media.
All episodes of The Experience with Chris Fio were recorded prior to the COVID-19 pandemic.
This is The Experience with Chris Fio. In each episode, Fio brings his unique and unashamed interview style to Central Florida. He conducts honest and open interviews with people that have the vocabulary and expertise that he lacks.
In this episode of The Experience, I talk with my friend, the artist and singer, Mateo Blanco. Blanco is an American 2D and 3D artist. He uses non-conventional items to create art. Many of his creations have been acquired by Ripley's Believe It or Not worldwide. Blanco is also a singer who received classical training in opera, performed in La Traviata, and was a part of the Opera Blanca in Colombia. We talk art, we talk music, and we talk about Mateo's amazing positive attitude.
Dutch! It's feel good music! You gotta love it! Super duper!
Son of a hustler! Hello, welcome to another episode of The Experience with Chris Fioravanti. I'm here today with Mateo Blanco. Hello, Mateo.
Thank you. Thank you, and it's an honor for me to be here.
Thank you, Matt. And how's your day been today?
Oh, my day is amazing. We are alive, and I wake up with a lot of dreams, and I wish I could make my dreams come true.
Ah, you've made plenty of dreams come true. You've been in Ripley's, you've been in the New York Times, the Orlando Sentinel. You've done a bunch of things. You're an opera singer. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Google and people say a lot of things, but I think I can do a little bit more. And I love people see what I've done. To inspire people or inspiration for people, be inspiration for people to create more art to make the dreams come true. And you say about the Opera House. I sing in the Opera House for a long time. I start when I have 13 years old to sing my first opera. And I remember they told me, you are too young to the opera. And I say, I answer to the men, I think you are too old to give me an opinion, and I think I'm ready. And I decided to do the audition, and I passed the audition, and I sing for first time in the opera when I have 13.
Wow, that's amazing. 13 years old.
Yeah.
You're a prodigy then.
But everything starts with a dream. I remember I see Luciano Pavarotti in a concert, and that made a big impact on me. I don't have idea how to sing. I just sing. And then my grandfather, he gave me a collection of classic music, including Pavarotti arias of opera. And I tried to play Pavarotti role to repeat how he sing and try to imitate him. And one day I start to see some vibrato and some volume. And I think the blessing come true. And that's how I start to sing. And then I sing in the opera. And also, when I have like almost like 16, I remember I was in the opera La Traviata from Giuseppe Verdi, one of my favorite opera. And I promised myself, I say, one day I will sing in that stage, the same opera, and I make that dream come true in 1998, I think. And yeah.
That is really awesome. Now, when did you get inspired first, you know, when was the first, how old were you when you first had this dream, you know, did you start at 13, was it all there, or was it earlier?
When I have like 6 to 7 years old, I see the birds singing, and I see they have freedom, they fly, they jump, they have fun through nature, but they always sing, and I try to replicate or imitate the sounds of birds. And that's how I start to love the love of music and entertainment. I study to be an actor. I start to study music lessons also. But when I realize I can sing in an opera is when I can see my voice is very close to the way Pavarotti sing, and then when I see the opera house give me the opportunity and say yes, I see, okay, I think it's not only a dream, I think it's People call me singer, people call me tenor. I never put any title for me. It's the people who give me the title through the time.
That is very true. I would say you're a wonderful singer and a man of many talents, too. You also do art as well, or at least in my opinion, it looks like really good art, but in others' opinion, it wouldn't be. Can you explain? Tell me, my audience, what do you do with art? Like, what is your art?
I think a lot of people in the art business or art world, they try to describe me, they try to put tags, they try to say it's pop, contemporanean. Some people love it, some people don't like it, some people feel envy, some people feel love. People have different feelings, but I only care about the positive feelings because I believe more in good people. And I believe in good intentions, and I believe in dreams. I always say I believe in dreams, and it was my dream, and I have to respect my dream. I protect my dream, I create my dream, and I make my dream come true. It's my dream, and people with bad intentions is not important for me because it's not their dream, it's my dream. But when I make that dream come true and people say something beautiful or amazing and get inspired by my art, that is amazing because I share my dream with that people. But I never, I refuse to accept people to destroy my dream with any comment. And I know it's a lot of better, through history, it's a lot of better artists than me. I know a lot. And I know it's a lot of good people who I respect and I admire. And I know a lot of artists, they don't have idea what they're doing. But I guarantee one thing is, the art I do is the art of Mateo. I never try to be like nobody else. Is whatever is in my brain is what I do.
And your art is wonderful. It's seen by 14 million people at Ripley's, believe it or not, man. It's seen by more people than probably most galleries. It's insane.
Yeah, that is amazing. But you know something? I think it's because I do art with all my love. And also, I try to be always close through people. And I love people, and I follow people's feelings and what they really love. And I think we all love food. We all love superheroes. We love chocolate. We love sugar. We love pasta. I have Italian friends who we all love pasta. And I remember I created Jake Sully from Avatar in pasta. And I don't know. I think one of the best thing in the art is I try to be close to people. And most people in the art business, galleries, museums, curators, critics, they are too far from the reality. They are far from people. So most people, they are arrogant, and the ego is bigger than the creativity. Or I think the ego destroys people. And I love people who are humble. I love people who recognize if they make any mistake. I just say I love people who are humble in different ways.
And you are a very humble person yourself, I see.
I don't know.
I mean, from what I've known right now, would you say you're a humble person? Would you say yourself, are you a humble person?
I don't know. I hope so. I hope I'm humble. But if I make any mistake or somebody feel I'm not, I'm happy. Or somebody tell me what I have to fix to be a better human, a better person. I like to be always better in different ways. In my heart, in my art, in my business, in everything. I like to be better. And I also love to make mistakes because experience is the master of all the science, and I discover a lot of good things in my mistakes, and I do a lot of experiments, and I love that.
Your experiments have led you to many great works so far, many great things that you've done, from the Opera House to your own record. I've checked your music out. You've been on what record label were you with?
Well, that CD is very important in my life. Maybe it's not a big hit in the music industry, but it's important for me.
Yeah, my boss certainly loved it.
It's important. Hey, thank you. It's important for me. And I say that because it was my dream to record my voice in a CD. And it was in 2009, and in that times is the transition of CD to digital to iTunes, and the industry changed too much in that time. But I remember in the 90s, I have that dream to record everything I create in a CD. Most people tell me, why you, if you are a tenor, why you record vallenato, salsa, all this Hispanic kind of music in your way? I say, why not? I just like to do. I want to record that way. And most people who are experts in vallenato music, vallenato is a music from the coast of Colombia, they say, oh, that is impossible. Why you record vallenato that way? Say, why not? Because I feel and I love to have freedom. I like to do whatever I like to do, I will do. And I don't want nobody to drive the boat of my life. I am my own captain and I drive the way I like to drive my life, in the big ocean of the life. And even the ocean of the life is big, like the real ocean. Ocean is huge, it's big. And I drive my boat, and it's also special for me, that CD, because most people say I was the first tenor to record a multi-generic, sorry for my English, because...
Don't worry about it.
But my multi-generic...
Yeah, genre, yeah, multi-genre
yes,
music.
CD.
That's something to be proud of.
Nobody do before. And I say, oh, thanks God. Well, I sell few CDs, but thanks God I make history. I always say, I love to read history. I love books. I read a lot, and I will read more. I love to write history, but it's better to do your own history. And I decide to do history. I think it's amazing biographies I read in my life, but I decide to do my own history and follow my heart and inspire people to do the same. I think humans, most people, we come in alone. I don't born with a twin brother or twin sister. You know, like most people, we are alone the first or the birth. And
you're a twin?
No, I wish. I
oh,
have
okay,
a twin,
okay.
But
yeah.
But we come in alone with the parents, and why we should live the same life of everybody else? And most people try to live the life of others, and I think every life is amazing, and we need each other for something special. Some people say, like, oh, I like to study that career because that career make a lot of money. I think it's a mistake. I think you have to study what you love. Oh, not only that, you have to do what you love. Some people, they don't study to be a politician, and they are the best politicians. Some people, they don't know nothing about business, and they don't study to be a businessman, and they are succeeding in business world. Life teach a lot, and experience teach a lot. And I love art. I love art business, and I'm happy for what I do.
Yeah, and I'm see it in your work, very much so. And did it stem from when you were younger, living in Colombia? Because you've let me know some of the how hard it was back there, some of the prejudices they have. Did that inspire you and build that fire from a young age? Tell me about it.
As American, because I'm from Miami, Florida, as American, I am a dreamer.
Yes,
I am
you are.
Strong as American.
Yes, you are.
But something, as a Colombian, my parents are from Colombia, and I live in Colombia for a long time. That's how I learned to have this amazing accent and a strong accent, because I live from 1986 to 1991, 2000 in Colombia. And that means my first language is Spanish. And I have a lot of influence in Colombia. And it was hard for me in Colombia because I think different than everybody. I think more American way. Mm-hmm. I don't think too much in the Colombian way. But Colombia was important for me because I learned from an amazing artist. And Colombia is very... it's fun country. It's a lot of colors, art, music. It's fun. It's about fun. And even if we have a lot of violence through this year, we have fun. We don't get contaminated by the bad things. We see bad news, but we have time to go to the farm. We have time to dance, to eat. We have fun. And I combine the best for each country, and that's how I do.
Yeah, I see that. And what would you say is the difference between the way, the Colombian way of thinking and the U.S. and the American way of thinking?
In Colombia, for example, in Colombia, people is shying to sing in front of people. In Americans, when they have 13, 6 years old, they go in front of people, they just sing, they just do it. In Colombia, people have too much fears. And whoever lose that fear, that is the Colombian who gets to sing. Like people like Maluma, like Shakira, like Fernando Botero, like Gabriel Garcia Marquez. These amazing Colombian people, they eliminate the fear from their heart. They follow the dreams, and they are well known around the world. But United States, we are not a country of fear. We just do. But I feel more love and more friendship in Colombia, and I see less friendship, less love in United States.
Yeah,
United States is more about money, about make your dreams come true, be powerful, be strong, have personality, and I just combine both things. I feel love for people. I don't feel envy for people. I wish the best for people. But one beautiful thing about United States is Americans, we are very generous. We like to help people, and that is one amazing thing from United States.
Yeah, they're very charitable. You know, we can be charitable people, you know, and we try to do a lot for others while, you know, trying to do like something for ourselves. And what I wanted to ask as well is where is your albums big at? Like, where is your name big at, either Colombia or America? Where is your name most prevalent at?
In Colombia, I'm very well known as a singer, and in United States, I'm more well known as an artist. Mm-hmm. And now, because I'm very well known in United States, now that reflects in Colombia, and people start to know more about me in Colombia, about my art.
Was it through the American news, like the New York Times and, you know, Orlando Sentinel?
Orlando Sentinel. And one thing about United States is everything you do in the United States, United States have the power to have influence on the rest of the world. It's the only country who have the power to get influence in entertainment business, in everything. We influence the world too much.
Yeah.
And every time I am in the news in United States, I don't know how come people read in Colombia and they write something like, oh, the Colombian. And for me, believe me, I'm very proud to be American, but sometimes it's confusing for me because I'm proud to be Colombian and at the same time. And sometimes I don't know where I'm from, but I can say I'm Colombian American.
Yeah. I would say that. And you seem to have embodied the American spirit of entrepreneurship and, you know, that go-getter attitude that I see mixed with the flair of the Colombian fire that you have in yourself. And how inspiring are you to the youth, you would say? Because you have a lot of, you know, love for the youth. And I see in your video, Los Amor, I'm sorry, I might butcher that name.
The music?
Yeah, the music video.
Oh, La Llenita de Amor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any charities for children or anything that you
in
do?
That time, I promised myself every money I collect for myself in music is going to Colombian kids. And some people say like, oh, you waste too much money in that people over there. And I say like, well, why not? I get older and I like to help a new generation to make their dreams come true. I already make a lot of dreams come true, and I want some kids make their dreams come true. And if I can help, it will be amazing. And some people, they don't have more options. They don't have hope. And I think United States and they give me a lot of blessings. People give me a lot of blessings, and I think it's important to share that blessing with everybody else.
I feel you. Yeah. And how much of it was a shock to you whenever you found out, wow, this is really taking off. I'm really going somewhere with this. How was it? How was that feeling?
When I see everything in the news and stuff.
Yeah. How, and like, where was that moment that you're like, realized, wow, this is really going somewhere?
Oh, that is a wonderful question, because every time I get in shock about how people react with my art. And I received a few calls a few days ago from California, and they offered me a lot of money for one of my paintings.
Really? Can I ask how much?
I don't say too much, but I don't say, what I can say, I always try to be wise and to put like everything fair. And I say, I like to say thank you for the offer, but it's important for me, the reputation, and to do everything fair. And I tell them what is the price of the market. And if that price going up, I have to change the price for everybody else. And before I make that decision, I have to call my gallery in Coral Gables, Virginia Midler Art Space, Virginia Midler Gallery.
Really?
In Coral,
wow,
Gables. And I have to call her. I have to call another art dealer in Colombia also to balance the prices, make sure everybody's in the same page, and to respect the business, because I cannot give discount and change the price the gallery have to give different price in my studio. But in this case, it's different because they offer a lot more. And I just thinking for the decision, and maybe I'm going to say, yeah, I tell them, give me a few weeks to make a wise decision. And I express my gratitude. But I have the same, I have the feeling the art is going to be so expensive in the future, because I see the reaction of people. And the interesting thing is like, kids love my art, old people love my art, young people love my art, and that is amazing. That is like, oh, well, thanks God, people love it and have fun with the art. The most important for me is not only they love the art, is I like people to enjoy the art, to have fun, to make fun of my art, or make comments, or going crazy, or maybe to create something similar like me. But I have the feeling, yes, the art is going to be more expensive through the years, and of course, for the fact, I lose my eyes a little bit, my view, like my, how do you say, like a little blind through the year.
Like you're no longer 20/20.
Yeah,
you're getting older. Now.
Yes,
yeah. We'll just leave it at that.
And I am very about the details, and I cannot stay. I stay too much doing one thing, one painting, one sculpture, 6 months, 1 year doing one thing, two things. And of course, through the years, I cannot do the same thing. That's why I try to teach everybody or to inspire people to do even better, because I don't know for how long I can do the same art. I wish I can do the art until 90 years old.
Harold Gard.
But I'm working in that. I just try to eat more healthy right now, to work out. I have to lose weight, of course. I take in a medicine, and I doing my best, because of course I like to live longer. But the reality is, I see my eyes that are not the same through these years, and I say, whoa, I have to work during the day, No, because sometimes I don't sleep too much and I just go through the night. And now I decide just mornings, I go in to do my art and, you know, something like that.
Can the business be a little difficult at times for you?
The business of art?
Yeah, your business that you own. Can it be difficult at times? Like, you know, people trying to get over on you?
Oh, like you mean like people try to give me a lower price?
Yeah, like hard time too with your art.
No, like I have too much respect for people, but I have too much respect for art. Some people, one day I remember somebody offered me less money. So I give you this, and I say, thank you, I appreciate, that means you love my art and you cannot afford, but you still love my art. But I have respect for my co-workers, my galleries, for my people, and I cannot give you discount. That is the right price. I have to respect a lot of people, and that is the price. Oh, you wait a few years, save money, and
yeah.
You know, sometimes I prefer to give for free, but no discount. I can give as a gift or something, but no discount. Just yeah. That is the price.
Is there a reason for that? Is there like a, is it like, you know, a business like look?
Is respect for the art is also the art business is a market, and some artists, they make a mistake. They say the gallery offer a painting for one price and the artist offer for lower price, and that confuse people and collectors, and they don't see they are serious in their business, and that caused a lot of trouble for them. Yeah.
Wow. How can you explain to me and my audience what kind of trouble that causes? Because we don't know the art world like that.
Well, in my understanding, it just say you buy a painting for $10,000 in the gallery, and then the artist sell a similar painting for $5,000. The gallery is going to get mad and say, the collector is going to say, why pay more in the gallery? And why you pay less through the artist? And then everybody start to talk about, oh, it's lower here, it's higher here. And then all the collectors and people, they decide to make business with the artist.
Oh, so it's really bad business for the gallery that way.
It's important to be a great artist, or just say to be an artist, but it's important to be a businessman also, to respect the art business.
Because you don't want to like mess up any set value that way. I see what you mean. And did that, all knowing all this, did that make you hesitant about jumping into the art world? Like, you know, because it's such a really weird and hairy business.
Art business is difficult, like every business. If you like to open a restaurant, you have to deal with marketing, with license, with a lot of things, and people complain about food. And I think every business is difficult, or maybe it's not difficult. But it's nothing more sad to do things you don't really have fun, you don't really enjoy. And I really love art. I love art so much, and I just have fun. Sometimes I make a lot of money, sometimes I don't make too much. But my life is not only about money. My life is more about feelings, about experience, about good memories, about have fun.
Yeah.
That is my life.
The Colombian spirit mixed with the American that you said. That's your character. I like
money. Help a little bit to relieve the stress and pay bills. Mm-hmm. Money is amazing. I love money. It helps a lot to relieve the stress. But, it's another feelings are amazing too. It's another feeling.
Yeah. I want to ask you about Ripley's. How did you get noticed by Ripley's, believe it or not?
I was in a art business for a long time. I was a art dealer, and
really,
I sell art from different artists. And also, one of my dreams right now is to help to promote more people. And I remember I offer a few paintings from artists to replace, and they say, "Yeah, they are fun. I like one of those paintings, but they are fun." And I have the feeling they missing a few things. And somebody, Edward, I remember Edward Meyer, he from Canada, he's a great friend, a very smart man. He asked me, like, Mateo, why you don't do something? And I say, why not? I'm very open for everything. People ask me, like, can we do that? I say, yeah. Most of the time I say yes for everything. I'm very open mind for everything. And I say, okay, let's do.
It seems like most successful people have that yes to everything mindset. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. I don't have fears. I don't have taboo. I don't have... I think my mind is open for everything. I don't have any limits. I live without limits, without fear. And I say, you know something? I just do something. I'm just going to do some art. And of course, I have a lot of influence because I study art with few amazing people in Colombia, and I also read about art, and I do some art in Colombia, and I do my first pieces of art to replace sugar, dog hair, chocolate, pasta. Oh my God, I forget a lot of things. sugar pearls, cupcake pearls, coffee beans, peanuts. And
you said you did an Oprah piece with coffee beans.
Coffee beans, yeah.
Yeah, what inspired that
Colombian
piece?
Coffee beans.
That's even better.
Yeah.
And what inspired that piece? Was it just a get up and do it piece?
I don't know. Yeah, everything inspired me. Like, coffee smells so good. And
it does.
And I just love coffee every morning. And I just wake up and like, oh my God, I should do something with coffee. I love coffee.
And Oprah came to mind?
Oprah, that time I do a TV show. I talk about art in a TV show in Orlando, Channel, in Spanish. And I said, I'm going to do two women who inspire me. They make their dreams come true. But Oprah is even better than Ellen. Ellen, she's just fun, you know. But I decided to do Ellen and Oprah in Coffee Beans. Yeah.
Nice. Just because the TV show?
I was in the TV business that time doing a TV show. I said, I'm going to honor TV show people and I do Ellen and Oprah.
Do you think they know about your art?
Maybe. You never know.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I know. Shoot. they should give you a call to buy it.
Yeah. You never know. But the thing about, you asked me also about Ripley's, is when I put my first artwork at Ripley's, believe it or not, they call me and say, you don't have idea how many people come over to this museum to see your art. It's no hundreds, it's thousands of people. You should do more. I'm like, more? More art? Yes, whatever you do, we buy it. You are crazy. Your art is beautiful. You bring thousands of people to the museum. And they do something at Slager Museum. And they say, Mateo, can you do Jennifer Lawrence? I'm like, well, I will try my best. We see what happened. And they told me it's going to be in a Slager Museum. A Slager Museum is a museum of baseball.
Really?
I don't know too much about sports, but I said, you know something? I'm going to a baseball game to see what's going on, to get some inspiration. And you can see I always eating. And I love food. Food is amazing. Actually, I have to lose weight anyway. But I love food. I love food too much. And I eat in peanuts to the baseball game. And I say, oh my God, that peanuts is so good. And I want to do something about that with Jennifer Lawrence. I don't know. I figured out. And I'm looking for a sepia portrait of her the day she win the Oscar. And I do Jennifer Lawrence in 10,000 peanuts. Well, I remember it was 9,698 peanuts.
Nice.
But to make easy, it's 10,000 peanuts.
Well, yeah, and we'll round it off to 10,000. It's impressive that you counted them all.
Yeah, and I eat it a lot too.
I bet so. Yeah. I mean, I would be tempted to eat my work
and
too.
And when they see the painting, the Jennifer Lawrence, they say, oh my God, that is going to be crazy. They frame and they call me and say, well, the exhibition is supposed to be for a few months, but they decide to have the piece for 1 year. And Jennifer is the most visited and photographed. Most people take pictures and visit that painting in United States in 2016.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
It's the most photography and visit painting in United States in 2016.
That is amazing.
I don't know where she is right now. I think they put display at Gatlinburg, Tennessee right now.
Yeah.
I think so. But I miss that painting a lot. Maybe one day I find time to do something similar for my house. Sometimes I do art for my house and some collectors and people call me like, oh, can we buy that piece? I'm like, oh, no, that is for my house.
How many pieces do you have in your house now?
Oh, at home I have four. No, I have the Desire series is Madonna.
Yeah.
I have one Madonna, big Madonna in my bedroom. I have four Madonnas, the little ones in the guest's bedroom.
What did you make Madonna out of?
Madonna is a kinetic art. Madonna is like, well, the Madonna I have in my bedroom is like gold, yellow Madonna.
Wow.
But you see the in front face of Madonna, and when you move, the painting move. And it's because Madonna, she's the queen of pop, and she's very, how do you say, like, she moved through the years, and I decided to do something different. It's not about the material. It's about the three-dimensional, those kinetic art.
Like, you know, like those little holographic cards.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool that you can do that.
And that painting is like a subliminal painting. And the thing I call Desire, and oh my God, I don't know. I can't talk with the truth, but every time I see that painting, I get horny. I don't know how, but it's always like that. And I do it on purpose. I don't know why.
Madonna.
No, it's not, but Madonna is something that painting have. And I'm like, I don't know why. And I say, oh, you know something? I'm going to put that painting in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's because we think Madonna, we think like, oh, she was the girlfriend of Basquiat or was a friend of Andy Warhol. She's the most important, one of the biggest collector of art. But we relate, I think it's because we relate Madonna with sex. I don't know why, but I see that painting, I get horny, yeah, like that.
I think that was her MO back in the day, and probably still now.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, something is happening, and I put it in my bedroom, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Anyway, but it's amazing.
It provides the mojo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And what other pieces do you have other than Madonna in your home?
And I have the two Madonnas, and I will be in my bedroom with my Madonna, and the guests have... And of course, the guest is going to be horny in the other room because I have four Madonnas over there.
No, oh my gosh.
Four, five, six Madonnas in that bedroom.
You're making sure the guests are ripe.
But it's fine. It's the reality. And the art is about feelings, about beauty, but it's also about feelings, about experience. And I don't know how come I decide to put this art in my bedroom.
Yeah.
But that is the feeling.
Yeah, that
you go to my bedroom or go to the guest bedroom, you're going to be horny. You don't know how. I don't know, it's the painting or some magic over there, but that is the magic of this painting. You go to my dining room.
Yeah.
And it's a Ellen. I have a Ellen in coffee beans just because I like to have breakfast with coffee and the smell of the coffee, and you enjoy the coffee. I have a Princess Leia in my... She's sitting... In my...
Is that a sculpture or the paint?
A sculpture of Princess Leia.
What did you make that out of?
It's in rope.
Rope?
Yeah.
Really? Just like, you know, like a regular wind rope?
Like uh-huh, that? Like rope from the Marines used to... Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I don't know.
How tall is the Princess Leia sculpture?
It's tall, like, I say, in English, it would be like 5.5 feet.
Really? 5.5 feet?
Yeah, it's tall. It's huge. It's huge, but... also, that sculpture people offer me a lot, but that is the one. It's too heavy, and if I sell, I say, well, maybe one day I decide to sell that one. But for now, it's for my house to have the decoration at home, and I love that one.
How did you build that one? What did you do to make that?
It's layers, layers, and layers, and layers, and also I have a artist proof, like AP artist proof of the Queen of Hearts, and is in cards and dices. And I have also in my dining room close to Ellen, that queen invite people to eat, and when you open the door of my house, you see the queen in front of everybody like eating and have the breakfast or dinner or lunch with the queen. And I have Batman in Smarties in the living room. I don't know, home sweet home. I love my house, and I like to have fun in my house. And I realize I have to share my art with people, and maybe people is going to buy the art, and maybe I'm not going to have more art at home. We see what happens. If the art is going to be in good hands, maybe I sell. But for now, whatever is in my house is not for sale. It's more for to have fun for now.
Yeah.
But if I create something, sometimes I just wake up and say, oh, you know, I like to create something new, change everything. And I say, okay, I sell everything. I send everything through the gallery, and people come in, oh, you want to sell? Okay, sell everything. And I design something new for my house.
Nice.
Yeah, I like to have fun.
So when do you decide that a piece is ready to be sold, like a personal piece?
Well, when it's hard because sometimes I finish, I need to do a little more details. But sometimes when I see the reaction of people, they have any reaction or comment, they say, I think I have the feeling we are ready for public. And I say, I don't want to do no more details, because if I do more details, I stay forever in the same piece. I think it's time for sale.
Yeah.
But I put too much love in my art, and that's why sometimes it's hard to sell my art. I'm blessing and happy to see how people buy my art. But sometimes I just missing my art, because yeah. I do for me and for my people, you know, like. But yes, I
like your Jennifer Lawrence. You miss?
Yeah. Oh, I miss that painting. That Jennifer Lawrence. I miss that one a lot. Because it was beautiful, but it smelled so good. Oh my God! I remember my home smelled so good that time.
Oh man!
It smelled so good.
Like peanuts, right?
Yeah.
Oh wow, man! It must have smelled really good.
And the one in chocolate. I do Hank Aaron in chocolate, the statue of Hank Aaron in chocolate.
Really?
Whoa, that is, I put too much sugar in my blood. That's why maybe people say, oh, you are so sweet. Maybe that's why I have a lot of sugar in my blood.
That's the old saying.
But that thing, like, oh my God, like, that smells so good and tastes good. I taste my art too.
I don't blame you, actually.
That's why I frame, to make sure I nobody eat it and I don't eat it.
I know. Was the Hulk the one? What was that made of? Was that sugar?
Oh, that is sugar. Sugar.
Really?
And the sugar have something special. Is the red tastes like strawberries, the green tastes like lime. And somebody mentioned, like, why you care too much about the flavor? It's going to be frame anyway. I said, well, you never know. One day somebody like to try it, just try it and taste good.
Yeah. So we're reaching the end of our episode. We're at our last 5 minutes. And I want to ask you a really good question.
Okay.
Do you feel like what you do is making a difference now?
Well, I don't know the answer yet, but I hope so. I hope I make any difference, because I see people in the art world or art business, they say, oh, everything is done in art, and I have the feeling it's a lot of things we can do and create in art. My art is an invitation to create something new. My art is an invitation to people who have fun, to be closer to people, to be part of people's dreams, to invite people to follow their dreams, to follow their creativity. And of course, I do, I don't know if you remember or you see it, I do a statue in Cheetos.
Yeah, you did. I love that. Yeah. I love that one. It's so awesome.
A lot of people say, like, what I do with the Cheetos? My doctor say, I cannot eat more Cheetos. What I can do? I say, okay, just do some art, do some fun. Don't put in the compactor, do something.
Yeah, that's what inspired the Cheeto, Cheetah?
When I go to, I am a member of Restaurant Depot. Means I like to buy everything a lot, like
I know,
a
Restaurant
lot
Depot.
Chocolate, a lot of everything. And every time I go to the doctor, they give me a list of what things I cannot eat no more. And say, well, I'm not going to waste that thing. I'm just going to do something. And I love food too. And I create something with the food. And with the Cheetos, it's amazing, because most people say that is impossible to do something in Cheetos. And I say, well, I'm going to figure out. I don't know how, but I figure out. Because Cheetos are fragile. If they glue, it's not easy. Yeah. But I do a lot of experiments, and I love to do experiments. I like to try everything. I like to see everything, all the experience. I don't know. The life is only one. It's one chance to live. That's it. I don't believe we come back in cats, or we come back again. We dead, we screwed. And the reason I have fun in this life is because I don't think heaven or hell will be fun. If it is true, I don't think it's fun. It's nothing to do over there. You cannot use your cell phone. I use my cell phone 24 hours. Yeah. You cannot do nothing over there. Just chilling, just waiting for something for the rest of your life. But in life, you can do a lot of things. I don't know what I'm going to. Well, I'm not sure if I go into heaven. But if I go to heaven, and that is true, maybe I make art with the with the, what is it, clouding? Clouds?
Yeah, clouds.
Clouds.
Or whatever, maybe you can make
the
art
feathers out feathers of the angels. Or
yeah. Or maybe you have the mat, he gives you the power to just create anything out of just air. Like, you know,
yeah,
you just make material out of air. You swipe your finger, all of a sudden there's art.
Oh,
right.
I hope so.
That would be really
interesting. I will be sad to don't have any material, nothing to do over there, like just waiting, and I cannot do more art in heaven. And, you know, but I, that's why I think life is amazing, and that's why I say everything, yes, everything is possible. And I just, I think humans, they need to have a brain big as a universe, with no limits, with no infinity, to dream through the infinity to the, for me, it's not ever ending. I like more and more and more, more experience, more experiments, more things. And then I can realize, like, well, I do everything. I know about everything.
I mean, you don't know if you don't try.
Yeah.
I mean, and I feel your message is, you know, for everybody, including the youth, is, you know, don't be afraid to give everything a shot.
Yeah. You know how many times people told me, like, you cannot sing because your accent, you cannot sing because this. And I remember I sing for one of the president of the United States. I sing for him even in Spanish, with my accent, with my Spanish, whatever.
Was that George Bush?
George Bush.
Yeah, the senior, the, right?
Senior, and Barbara Bush. They don't understand nothing. But it's like when I'm with Colombia, when we listen music in English, we don't understand something like, washu. We don't understand nothing, but we love it.
Yeah.
The same with Bush family. They just say, what the fuck? What they say? But they love it. They feel the music. They feel something. And I just decided to sing in Spanish because it's easy for me. And for me, it's a little bit easy to sing in Spanish, and it's easy for me to sing in Italian. But to sing in English, for me, I have to practice a lot more and eliminate my accent a little bit. And the vocals in English is a little closer. As a tenor, I have to practice a lot to sing in English. And what is one of my dreams? Maybe one day to sing in English. Actually, I sing in English long time ago.
Really?
Only one time in my life.
Tell me about that.
It was a composer, one of the composers of Falling in Love with You.
Oh, I think I've
they write that song. It's four guys. One is alive. The guy I honor him to sing. He asked me to sing that song. They write that song for the movie Blue Hawaii to Elvis. And I think his name was George. Ways, I don't know. It's George something. And he said, "Can you sing my song Falling in Love with You in Spanish or in English?" And I said, "Well, I will try in English, even with my accent." And he say, okay. And then I go to the vent and I sing Falling in Love with You. And he cried because he say he remember when he was younger, and they write for Elvis. He say, "You remind me Elvis when he was younger, because he smile when he sings. And I always smile when I sing it." And he cry and make me cry too. And that is my only time I sing in English. And,
really?
And that is beautiful for me. And he said, like, "Oh, you love Elvis?" And yeah, of course. He's one of the best artists in history in the United States.
Do you take influence from him with your music?
The fact to smile?
No, Elvis. Does he influence your music at all?
Elvis have a lot of influence to me because the passion he have for music. And but also another person who smiled when he sing was Luciano Pavarotti.
Oh,
he enjoyed, yeah. He smiled when he sing opera. And but I think it's something natural in people who really love what they do. It's not only about technique, it's not only about, you know, the song. And he say, I don't care about your accent, I don't care if you make sing like this or that. You just sing with your heart. That's why I love you. Sing for me this the Falling in Love with You.
And it's
one of
beautiful.
My favorite songs also. I think it's beautiful. The lyrics and the music is beautiful.
I believe it too. And there's also another song you did. I heard it almost sounded like a rap song when I heard it. What was that?
Ah, the rap song?
Yeah.
Oh, the rap song is a name, the name of the artist who sing with me is Fabio Legarda.
Yeah.
Fabio, in that time I record my music, my CD in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was studying music and he started the music industry. And he say, Mateo, I like to sing with you to be part of your project. I say, of course. And he said, yeah, Mateo, but I don't know how to sing opera. I say, oh, you don't need to worry about that. Just whatever music you do, whatever way you sing, just sing and I follow you. It's important for me, people, just be yourself and I be part of your life. And we sing together. I respect his hip hop rap style and I sing the way I sing. But it's beautiful you ask me about that because I have the vision. I know he's going to be famous. And he come back to Colombia, and of course he will be very famous in Colombia. But the sad news, he died this year.
Oh, really?
He's a lost bullet.
A stray bullet.
Yeah, and he killed him, and he died very young.
Our
but
condolences.
He made his dream come true. Of course, he was very famous in Colombia and well-known, and I remember I'd record with him, and I know he's going to be famous because he has something I always say, you love music, you have the charisma, and people love you. You have the three blessings, and I miss him. He's a great...
I'm terribly sorry for that loss.
Yes, of course, I have a classic way to think, but I'm open for everything. It's a new generation, new people who sing amazing rap, hip-hop, whatever. I just love music. And if somebody called me to sing with them, I don't care what they sing. I just follow them, be part of them.
Yeah, and yeah. I believe that's how it's supposed to be. And, you know, music is art, and you're an artist, as they say. And I believe you're an artist in a very encapsulating way in all aspects. Like, you did music. You're now doing sculpting and painting and a whole bunch of different arts.
I have one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. One of the most beautiful memories I have in life was a private event in Boca Raton, and they invite Aretha Franklin. I read a lot, but in that time I was so young, and I don't know. I know she was well known, and but I don't know so deep about the importance of her. She was a huge legend, but. They say, Mateo, we want you to sing something with her, try to match her, because the people who do the private event, they say, we want you to do something with her. She's very important. They say, oh my God, I, for real, like, I don't know. I just know one song, maybe she knows. I don't know, but I know in Spanish. And then these people over there, and she listens to the conversation and say, what is the song you know in Spanish? They say, Bésame Mucho. And she say, just sing a little bit, say, Bésame, bésame mucho, como si fuera esta noche la última vez. Bésame, bésame mucho, que tengo miedo a perderte, perderte después. And then she starts to sing, Bésame, Bésame, in her way. I'm like, oh my God. And everybody starts to cry. Like, oh, now you can say you sing with Aretha Franklin. It was not something important or big event, but it's a private. But I have the opportunity to sing that song together with her. Then, years later, I realized how important she is. I'm like, whoa, she's a huge legend. But I like the fact she understands. She understands, like, okay, he no speak perfect English, but I know Bésame Mucho a little bit. I follow her. And that's how big she is. She's humble, and she was one of the most amazing artists we have in the United States. And she's always in my heart. I always have gratitude and respect to have that beautiful opportunity to with her. And I think that part of my life, and also the reaction of people through the Museum of Replays to see thousands of millions of people go to see my art through the museum. It's 32 museums around the world, and I receive emails and or messages through Instagram talking about what I do. Thank you, we love it. That is amazing. I think three things changed my life. That moment, the Replays succeed. And also when I sing for the President of the United States, And what was very special for me, because that means I follow my dreams, but the dream came true, and yeah, I think it was amazing moments of my life. But the best moment of my life is when I see the people around or people I meet, they make their dreams come true. That made me so happy. When I see my people around happy, that made me more happy. And if I can do something for help people to make their dreams come true, I will do my best to help everybody.
That is a wonderful attitude to have. And I'm truly honored to have you on the show right now. And I feel like you are doing that with, you know, here today with me and trying to help me with what I want to do in your own way. And you're inspiring so many people. I feel like you have your art seen by millions of people, and people know your name. You've been with the president. It's such, and I feel honored to be in your presence right now. And on that note, we're going to have to end this episode out. And thank you all for joining me in the experience with Chris Fioravanti. Matteo Blanco, any final words?
Oh, well, the honor is mine. I think you are a wonderful person. I like to see you make your dreams come true. And I'm sure you're going to be a big star in what you're doing, because you have a charisma. You love what you do. And I can see very clear how wonderful you are. And also, if somebody like to know about the art, just use the amazing technology of Google. Just Google Matteo Blanco, Instagram. It's easy. I love technology. I think it's amazing, the technology we have right now. And most people think or believe we are in a bad moment of our life. And I think we are in the best moment. 2019, 2020, 2021, 22. Every year is even better, better and better. And I'm so happy. I just love the way we live right now. And I see beautiful things in everything. I see art in everything. But yes, just you and everybody, I invite everybody to follow the dreams. And I'm so happy with this interview to express myself. And you are the only person who interview in the way we can talk with freedom, we can talk with our heart. And it's an interview when you can talk with your friend. It's no like formal interview, something fun, something you talking with your friend.
Thank you so much. And I'm very sure this won't be the last interview we have together.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And everyone, have a great night.
Who know where I go, but right now I know there's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me, just you and me. There's no place that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place in the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me. There's no place that.
The Experience with Chris Fio is produced by Boris Douglas Garvey and Kyle Eagle. It is a joint production of Borma, Vonti, and PFT Media. The theme song is You and Me by NWAR Superstar.
In the world that I'd rather be than right here, just you and me.
A PFT Media production.